This is Torah 101. Great to be with you again this morning. We start with some comments from our listeners and a question. First is a comment from a listener named Shem, who says, "Hey Rob, I've been loving Torah 101 daily. It's been good to hear your teachings again. I missed them. You have a list of the Israeli artists you have been featuring," which I don't have a list. Maybe that's something that we'll add to our website eventually, but we have been mainly rotating Michael Levy, L-E-V-Y, Yair Dalal, that's D as in David, A-L-A-L, Yuval Ron, R-O-N, and also Ali Jihad Rasi, which is R-A-C-Y, the last name. And these guys you can find on Spotify and iTunes. They're all fairly prolific artists, and they have lots of recordings to listen to. Also, we have a comment from a listener named Cindy who says, "Greetings, I have been moving along since day one with Torah 101 Bible readings of Torah. Wow, I am blessed each and every day with this and walk away with so much. I tried twice to begin a study on the book of John and it just wasn't coming to fruition. This was the nudge I needed to have a new outlook on my readings and with utmost foundation for everything else. All the studies I have done do not come close to the understanding given and explained. I am keeping a small notebook jotted with notes and references, and by habit I do read from different versions. The CJB was bought quite some years ago and I thumbed through it. And now, in perfect timing, it is completely being read and applied. Thank you so very much. I love it. From the heart, Cindy. P.S. I listen from Torah101.com and stumbled upon you on Facebook." So thank you so much, Cindy, for those uplifting comments. We have a comment from Laura that says, "As a believer, grafted in, I especially love the insight and commentary of God's Word. Rob's insight to the scriptures is rich. I recommend that everyone also look up his other website, Speak Up for Israel. Be sure to watch the video, Voices in the Forest. I look forward to this every day and even ordered a copy of the Talmud. So blessed." Thank you again, Laura, for those very, very kind comments and encouraging words. Next, we have a question from Dave, who asks, "You have spoken a few times about how God blesses those who treat the Jews well and have given examples of countries that have been blessed and countries that have disappeared or are no longer a power. I am a Christian. How does an individual treat the Jews well to receive the blessing? Or does it not apply to individuals or Christians? I've thought about it and have my own ideas, but I wanted to hear from you on the subject. Thank you. I enjoy your series." Well, Dave, the idea of blessing those who bless you, part of the Abrahamic covenant that God made with Abraham and his descendants, I think it applies to every time we speak up for Israel, speak highly of Israel, hold Israel in high esteem. Whenever we contribute to the people of Israel's welfare, I think in general, it's just being a supporter of the people of Israel, the Jewish people, thinking positively, spreading positive thoughts and positive viewpoints, There are many, many benevolent organizations, humanitarian aid organizations that assist Israel today. One listener had mentioned my own speakupforisrael.com. There's tangible ways to help Israel through many routes that exist. I think that Christians have a unique opportunity and even a responsibility to help the Jewish people and to stand with the Jewish people. Remember, God told Pharaoh way back in the book of Exodus in chapter 4, he said, "Israel is my firstborn son." So if God considers the people of Israel to be his firstborn son, how important should that relationship be between the people of the New Covenant, the Gentile believers in Adonai through Yeshua the Messiah? Shouldn't there be a close-knit family type of relationship between the Jews and the Christians? My own history, my family history in Europe, like so many other Jewish people in America, was devastated during the Holocaust. But sad to say, it was a long history of persecution and anti-Semitism stemming from bad theology among the Christians of Europe that sadly opened the gate for what happened in the Holocaust, and even inspired what happened to the Jewish people through the writings of Martin Luther and others. If the Christians had been taught properly the proper relationship between the church and Israel, I think things would have looked a lot different historically. So we can't change the past, but we can alter the future and do it differently. And so love Israel. Love the Jewish people. Intercede and pray and give tangibly. Help repair so much of the damage that has been done over the millennia. We can start now repairing that. Thanks for that question, Dave. Continuing today in the parasha called Vayetze, he went out. Jacob, that is, the story of his leaving of his father's land, land of Canaan, or the land of Israel, as we call it today, and going, finding a wife, his story. Verse 17 of Genesis 31. Then Yaakov got up, put his sons and wives and the camels, and carried off all his livestock, along with all the riches he had accumulated, the livestock in his possession, which he had acquired in Paddan Aram, to go to Yitzhak his father in the land of Canaan. Now Laban had gone to shear his sheep. So Rachel stole the household idols that belonged to her father. It is in one sense funny to me that a daughter could steal the gods of her father. It's just a crazy thought that somebody could have a god able to be stolen. But also we see in this action Rachel, who had come under the spiritual authority of her husband, Yaakov, was now a believer in the true and the living God, is, according to the ancients, she she intended to separate her father from idolatry by taking away his gods. And Yaakov, verse 20, outwitted Laban the Aramite by not telling him of his intended flight. So he fled with everything he had. He departed, crossed the Euphrates River, and set out for the hill country of Gilad, which today is in modern-day Jordan, the mountainous area between Iraq and Israel. Not until the third day was Laban told that Yaakov had fled. Interesting, the third day, because Laban had put a three-day journey between the livestock that was rightfully Yaakov's and Yaakov. Now we see some irony in the fact that he didn't find out about Jacob leaving for 3 days. Verse 23, Laban took his kinsmen with him and spent the next 7 days pursuing Yaakov, overtaking him in the hill country of Gilad. Verse 24, but God came to Laban the Aramite in a dream that night. This is the true and living God. He said, be careful that you don't say anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. Interesting thing for God to tell Laban, basically, keep your mouth quiet. Neither good or bad. Because it seems that when Laban would speak good things, he was not being honest. And when he would speak bad things, he was being honest, but critical and negative. So it's good for Laban to just be quiet, according to God's order here. When Laban caught up with Yaakov, Yaakov had set up camp in the hill country. So Laban and his kinsmen set up camp in the hill country of Gilad. And Laban said to Yaakov, what do you mean by deceiving me and carrying off my daughters as if they were captives taken in war? So Laban is violating the order of God, and he is speaking. Carrying off my daughters, he says, as if they were captives taken in war. Little exaggeration here of the facts. Verse 27, why did you flee in secret and deceive me and not tell me? I would have sent you off with joy and singing to the music of tambourines and lyres. You can sense the insincerity oozing out of this man's mouth. Verse 28, you didn't even let me kiss my sons and daughters goodbye. What a stupid thing to do. I have it in my power to do you harm. But the God of your father spoke to me last night and said, be careful that you don't say anything to Yaakov, either good or bad. Granted that you had to leave because you longed so deeply for your father's house. But why did you steal my gods? Such a great statement. Good bit of advice from the scriptures here, implied from these passages. Don't have a god that can be stolen or damaged, or a god that you need to have insured. Don't worship stuff. Idols were nothing but little statues of deities that represented different things that benefited the person. They were gods, no different than materialism today, commercialism, seeking to benefit and to enrich our lives with stuff. But when that stuff or those things are stolen or lost, life falls apart for some people, and it shouldn't be. Verse 31, Yaakov answered Laban, "Because I was afraid. I said, suppose you take your daughters away from me by force." Remember, Yaakov had worked 14 years for just his daughters, for their hands in marriage. So he didn't want to risk having to work more to regain them. Verse 32, but if you find your gods with someone, that person will not remain alive. The ancient commentary, Genesis Rabbah, records that this is actually prophetic. Even though Yaakov didn't know that Rachel had stolen the gods, he pronounced this judgment on whoever the thief was that was binding. And therefore, Rachel did not remain alive longer than Jacob or longer than Leah. She died early and was buried near Bethlehem. Not buried, as I had said earlier, in what is now the tomb of the patriarchs in Hebron, in Israel, where Abraham and Sarah are, and Isaac and Rebekah and Jacob and Leah are buried there, but not Rachel. He goes on, so with our kinsmen to witness, if you spot anything that I have which belongs to you, take it back. Yaakov did not know that Rachel had stolen them. Laban went into Yaakov's tent, then into Leah's tent, and into the tent of the two slave girls. But he did not find them. He left Leah's tent and entered Rachel's tent. Now Rachel had taken the household gods, put them in the saddle of the camel, and was sitting on them. It's another thing you don't want. A god that can be sat on by you. Laban felt all around the tent, but did not find them. She said to her father, "Please don't be angry that I'm not getting up in your presence, but it's the time of my period." So he searched, but he didn't find the household gods. Then Yaakov became angry and started arguing with Laban. "What have I done wrong?" he demanded. "What is my offense that you have come after me in hot pursuit? You have felt around in all my stuff, but what have you found of all your household goods? Put it here in front of my kinsmen and yours, so that they can render judgment between the two of us." Yaakov is saying, "Well, I'm not a thief. I'm not a criminal. Did I steal something? Put it out here where everybody can see it." Because in Yaakov's mind, he lived righteously when he was with Laban, and he worked hard for this man, took care of his wives, did the right thing. Verse 38, "I have been with you for these 20 years. Your female sheep and goats haven't aborted their young, and I haven't eaten the male animals in your flocks," which were considered the most valuable ones in terms of breeding. "If one of your flock was destroyed by a wild animal, I didn't bring the carcass to you, but bore the loss myself. You demanded that I compensate you for any animal stolen, whether by day or by night." So Laban was tough on Jacob as a boss. Verse 40. "Here's how it was for me. During the day, thirst consumed me, and at night, the cold. My sleep fled from my eyes. These 20 years I've been in your house. I served you 14 years for your two daughters and 6 years for your flock, and you changed my wages 10 times, meaning that he gave him a raise, but he took it back. Gave him another raise, took it back, that sort of thing. Inconsistent payment. If the God of my father, the God of Abraham, the one whom Yitzhak fears, Isaac, his father, that is, had not been on my side, by now you would certainly have already sent me away with nothing. Take note, supporters of Israel. Take note. The God of Abraham, the one whom Yitzhak fears, is on the side of Jacob. He's on his side, bringing about an increase for him in spite of the persecution from Laban. He said, God has seen how distressed I've been and how hard I've worked, and last night he passed judgment in my favor. A consistent outcome for the descendants of Jacob. The God of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob passing judgment in the favor of the Jewish people. It's time to be on the right side. Biblically, of Israel, the right side of history. In light of Israel's growth and expansion in the days that we live in. This is Torah 101.